You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast. The following sermon was preached on the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost, October 25th, 2015, by the Reverend Steve Best, Associate for Couples and Family Life at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus and his disciples came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
As you might recall from last Sunday, two ego-driven disciples, James and John, wanted Jesus to find a special place for them in heaven, one seated on Jesus' right and the other on his left. And of course, Jesus essentially tells them, "Forget it. You are blind to what I've taught you to look for. Whoever would be great among you must be servant and slave of all." Their ears must have still been stinging when James and John walked into Jericho with Jesus, presumably with the rest of the 12 disciples. We don't know exactly what they do in Jericho, but it's what happens on their way out of town that catches the gospel writer's eye. Jesus asks a blind beggar by the name of Bartimaeus the very same question he had asked James and John earlier. "What do you want me to do for you?" And in sharp contrast to how James and John answered, this humble beggar simply says, "My teacher, let me see again." There are many aspects of the story of Jesus healing Bartimaeus that makes it extraordinary. The first, and the most obvious, is Bartimaeus' inner strength, an incredible faith that compelled him to cry out to Jesus above all the noise of the congested traffic on the road from Jericho to Jerusalem. Perhaps you could vision 405 on a bad day, but it's donkeys, carts, and a lot of pedestrians. The roadside in his day was a place inhabited by marginalized persons. This is where he has been told he belongs. It is a very lonely place. It doesn't appear that Bartimaeus has any friends in the crowd except the one friend that means the most, Jesus. In contrast to the 12 able-bodied disciples who are spiritually blind, Bartimaeus is the one who sees clearly and is most able to lead others to the power and healing love of Jesus. Bartimaeus, free from the disease of ego inflammation, embraces the path of radical humility and faith. His utter dependence on the mercy of God is revealed when he cries out for all to hear, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Bartimaeus throws down his cloak to come over to Jesus, he is getting rid of the only security he has known. His cloak was what he would have used to catch all the coins that were being tossed at him by passerbys. Bartimaeus is extraordinary in another way. He reminds us of the differently abled in our society, some 54 million adults and children who live with some form of major physical, cognitive, emotional, or mental health challenge. I'm willing to wager that there isn't a person in this room, in this church right now, who hasn't personally been impacted by some kind of serious mind, body, spirit, or emotional challenge, either yourself personally or have known someone you love. And yet, unlike Bartimaeus, we have often chosen to remain silent about our journeys and our need for understanding, love, and practical assistance. It should be no surprise, then, that the rate of church participation and attendance among these challenged groups is significantly less or lower than the general population. Many of these challenges that so many struggle with are very visible, as in the case of those who need wheelchairs. Others live with a much less visible challenge, such as dyslexia or some form of learning difference. I happen to be one of these persons. It is only through the grace of God and perseverance that I made it through all the rigors of seminary and graduate school without the benefit of accommodations. I think that means I was in the dark ages. A modern-day example of the spirit of Bartimaeus crying out to be heard and acknowledged is the brave and bold witness of many activists who led to the passage of the American with Disabilities Act of 1990, who incidentally we celebrate the 25th anniversary this year. The ADA is a wide-ranging civil rights law that prohibits discrimination against anyone who has some sort of identified disability. And it mirrors our own statement of equality found in the Episcopal Book of Common Prayer in the baptismal covenant when we're asked, "Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being?" To which we are all urged to respond, "I will, with God's help." Shortly before the American with Disabilities Act was passed in 1990, activists gathered in front of our nation's capital. They shed their crutches, wheelchairs, and other assistive devices, and immediately began to crawl, inch by inch, pulling their bodies up all 100 of the Capitol's front steps. As the activists did so, many of them chanted in the spirit of Bartimaeus, "ADA now and vote now." But the person that got my attention was Jennifer Keelan, a second grader with cerebral palsy, was videotaped as she pulled herself up the steps softly, using mostly her arms and her legs, and her hands, excuse me, hands and arms, and in the full cry and spirit of Bartimaeus, cried out for all to hear, "I'll take all night if I have to." The Capitol crawl of 1990 was seen by many present-day disability activists in the United States as being the single most important action to getting the ADA passed. As of 2015, the enactment of the ADA has resulted in significant progress, helping the differently abled begin to regain their rightful place in our society. But sadly, over the years, some of the strongest opposition to the disability rights movement has come from religious groups, ironically, who have opposed it on grounds of separation of church and state, and that it would be too costly to fund the changes to make full accessibility a reality. I'm pleased to say that the Episcopal Church is not one of these groups, and it is a church who has consistently, with many struggles, however, to work towards the inclusion, full inclusion, of the differently abled into the life of the church, and we have a long ways to go. We here at St. Thomas have our own way of making accessibility a higher priority with the building of the Ebsworth Life Center, which, with its elevator and bathrooms, is a meaningful step in the right direction. As we all prepare for in-gathering Sunday and look at all the stewardship implications of our lives together, I would like to encourage all of us to look at the ways we can financially support the ways that our worship space could be more accessible. From extra spaces for the wheelchairs, so that they're not just in one place in the back, but they're all over. So just like you and I, when we come into church, we get to choose where we want to sit. I believe people with wheelchairs should have the same. How about continuing improvements to our sound system? I know that may be a tender spot for some of us, but I believe we can continue to make improvements there. It will take some funds. And then as we envision an altar, this is the center of our ritual life as Episcopalians. As it's presently put together here, if you have any kind of mobility issues, you will not be able to touch that altar. And I know that we need some rails for those, ironically, to help people to have stability. But as you might have noticed when I got the gospel today, I stumbled off the main platform. No casualties. But I believe all things considered, we need to look at all aspects of our life together and ask ourselves, is it fully inclusive? But even more important than the architecture is the personal dimension of being the body of Christ. We, like in the gospel story, have the responsibility to be able to say, take heart, Jesus is calling you. And we need to better equip all of us, our ushers, the clergy, worship leaders, teachers of all ages, all of us, to engage with and support those with special needs. Not only because they and their families need our help, but also because we need them to be whole. The story of Bartimaeus' cry for healing reminds us that the power and the depth of faith is not dependent on how perfect our bodies are, how mentally sharp our minds happen to be or not be, or how balanced our emotions are at any given day. The power of faith is released when we throw off the cloak of self-sufficiency, acknowledge our vulnerability before Jesus, and allow the goodness glue of God's love and grace to bring us into deeper communion with God and with each other. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.